Remember the good old days, not that long ago, when we could shake hands, even hug our friends? We all need to be touched, and that is not a line in a love song. That is science. So what sort of effect could this side of social distancing have on us? From London, here's the world's Orla Barry.
Amanda Whitlock lives on her own in an apartment in Chicago. She's a photo editor and says she's usually perfectly happy in her own company, or at least that used to be the case. Since going into lockdown in early March, Whitlock says she's acutely aware of the fact that she's not had any physical contact with another human being.
I'm someone that has anxiety anyway. The last few days, I think it's really been pretty heavy on me. You know, it would be nice to be able to go out and hang out with someone and hold their hand, you know, something as simple as that.
Whitlock's anxiety is real. Scientific studies show physical contact with other people reduces our sense of stress. Evolutionary psychologist Robin Dunbar says it all goes back to our ancestry.
The way it works in monkeys and apes is through grooming of the fur that they do. And we don't have much fur left, only on the top of our heads. But what we've done is used stroking and patting and cuddling as a substitute, which still has the same effects. And not only does it build your friendships, but has a dramatic effect on your well-being, your general health.
Dunbar says we don't yet know what impact the absence of human touch is having on people right now. Playwright Eve Ensler, who now goes by the name V, worries that fear of the virus is affecting the way we view our bodies.
I think there's something about going out and seeing people being afraid of each other and afraid of each other's bodies and afraid to touch, and touch becoming something equated with sickness and death. It scares me deeply that we could begin to perceive each other's bodies as instruments of death.
V says the pandemic reminds her of the AIDS crisis in the 1980s and how that changed people's attitudes to sex.
It definitely changed our relationship to sex and to freedom drastically. And I so don't want COVID to do this to our relationship to touch. That would be a huge loss for human beings.
Sexual intimacy is out of the question for many people right now. But for some who work in the sex industry, it's business as usual. Charlotte Rose is an advocate for sex workers in Britain. She says many of them can't access emergency financial support from the government.
There is a large percentage that are still working because they can't claim. A lot of sex workers, especially migrant sex workers, aren't eligible either. So unfortunately, people are still offering skin-on-skin contact.
Rose says she used to work in the industry and that for many of her clients, it wasn't just about sex.
When I was working full time, probably about 90% of my clients wasn't even about the intercourse side of it. It was just skin on skin contact. I mean, I was predominantly seeing people with disabilities and, you know, they're already a very marginalised and vulnerable group. And they're the ones that are suffering incredibly at this particular time.
Physical contact is also central to Ruth McKinnon's work. She's a sports and remedial massage therapist from Canada, now working in London. McKinnon says people come to see her for a variety of reasons.
My clients range from a general, I've had this nagging pain, where you can link it to something that they did. And then a lot of it was stress levels. So people who are highly stressed generally are not sleeping very well. So getting massage regularly, they started to sleep better. Thus, their body was able to start, you know, making the right chemical processes for them to feel better.
But McKinnon says she hasn't been able to work since mid-March because the British government ordered therapy clinics to close and no one knows when they'll reopen. There is some good news, though. Psychologist Robin Dunbar says talking to someone on Skype or Zoom might not be the same as a real-life hug, but it still helps.
There's something about the feeling that you're in the room together. You stare into the eyeballs as well. You can see the smile breaking on their face before you've even finished the punchline of the joke you're telling them, which is probably why we have these enormous great white eyeballs, so you can see exactly where somebody's looking.
Back in Chicago, Amanda Whitlock has been messaging a man she met through a mutual friend. For their next date, they plan to act out Shakespeare's The Tempest over FaceTime. Sounds fun, but I ask her what kind of date she'd really like to have.
Well, I don't think that's probably appropriate for the radio, but I would love to be able to text him and be like, hey, let's meet up, or you know, since we can't really go anywhere, find a safe way in one of our places to meet, that would be awesome. But I don't think it's going to happen.
For now, Whitlock is thankful for her two cats. She says they're really what's keeping her sane right now.
I think that if I didn't have my pets, they're my family. If I didn't have them, I would definitely be climbing the walls right now for some human contact.
For The World, I'm Orla Barry in London.